The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Reaper Apparel Company. Reaper Apparel offers a casual line of superb fit, finish, and comfort. We design for those who refuse to die slowly and choose to live untamed. For those who aren't afraid to face the dark, for the ones that thrive in it, and for those who can appreciate life through a grim lens. That's Reaper Apparel Company. Go to the link in the description of this episode. Use the promo code MikeBono and get 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my own personal merch store, the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. I have hats, I have t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, water bottles, notebooks, you name it, I've got it. The description and the link for that will be in the description of this episode. Also, right now, if you use the promo code WELCOME, I will give you 5% off of your first purchase. That's the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Tactical Brotherhood, all-American-made apparel, which helps support the Second Amendment. You can also find all this in the description of this episode with the link, Tactical Brotherhood. Part of every proceed does go to helping veterans, as it is a very good cause. All American-made products made right here in Minnesota. Go and check them out. Use the promo code PATRIOT15 to get 15% off your purchase. Now, let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Ride Home Rants podcast. This is, as always, your host, Mike Bono. I have a great episode for us today and a lovely panel and a ragtag panel of guests here. But we're going to sit and we're going to break down the NCAA Final Four. This is highly anticipated games. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to let my panel introduce themselves. You've heard most of them before, but they're going to tell you their name, where they're from, and their biggest basketball accomplishment. So, Mike, let's start with you.
Yeah, Mike Worrell. I'm from Ohio. That's where I started coaching at. I coached at Urbana University, Ashland University, College of Worcester, Illinois College for 22 years, the head coach, Bethany College for a year and a half or two. And I'm in Illinois right now in Jacksonville, close to St. Louis. And I'm not really sure about a big accomplishment. I've won a lot of games. I've lost a lot. I'll leave it at that, Bono.
I would say you're the GOAT, Mike. That's all that needs to be said. You're the GOAT. Duncan, let's go to you.
Dr. Williams, I'm from Hedgesville, West Virginia. And not sure what else you need. My biggest accomplishment in basketball is beating Mark Richmond one time in my entire career, which was my last game my senior year.
Okay. That being said, Mark, let's go to you.
Biggest disappointment. Now, Mark Richmond, I grew up in Martinsburg, West Virginia. We were obviously rivals with Duncan's high school, and he moved on to work for me for the last 5 years. But been all over the place. I'd probably say that's my biggest accomplishment, kind of surviving in this business, almost going on 20 years now. Been at 6 or 7 different places and had schools close, and was at a Division I that decided to go Division III. So just trying to survive in advance, kind of like the madness we're about to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, let's go to you.
Yeah, Bob Gavalier from Youngstown, Ohio. Worked for 1390 in Youngstown. I'm not much of an athlete, so I really don't have a great accomplishment, I guess. Got to call LeBron James a couple times, their basketball games. So I got to call him a couple times from his the 4 years that he was at Akron St. V's. Got to call a couple games. So I guess that might have been my greatest accomplishment, calling some of the LeBron James games.
All right, and rounding us off here, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Barth. I'm from Anunc, Illinois, and I coach high school basketball, a small school called Fieldcrest High School. And I would say my biggest accomplishment, I guess not too many, We've won a lot of games the last couple of years and improved every year. But as a player, I would say assisting my brother on his 1,000th point in his high school career, that was a pretty cool moment for the both of us. So I'd say that's probably at the top of my list.
All right. Definitely a cool accomplishment getting to help your brother get his 1,000th point. But yeah, we're going to get to the NCAA here, and we're going to break it down. So, Bob, let's start with you here. Which of the games are you looking forward to watching the most? Are we looking for NC State versus Purdue or Alabama-UConn?
I think Alabama-UConn. I think I got to, if you had told me Alabama was going to be in the spot, I'd have been surprised because they really kind of down the stretch, they lost a lot of games and they were looking too good. But the way that their pace is, I want to see how UConn can match up with that pace. I'm interested to see if they can match up with the pace or they try to play with the pace. So that's what you see. That game, how that game's going to go on.
Yeah, they definitely surprised me and crushed my bracket. But I did all right this year. Mark, what about you?
I'm definitely looking forward to the other one. I think just the matchup between Zach Edey and DJ Burns is going to be really interesting. You know, does a guy get a couple early fouls? You know, how do they handle one another? You know, most teams at this point have kind of been, you know, doubling DJ Burns, and he's kind of finding shooters on the perimeter. Like, you know, I think Edey can obviously match up, but like I said, if they get some early fouls, things could change. So looking forward to that one.
All right. Duncan, what about you? You're muted, Duncan.
Mark Richmond's opinion's an awful idea. There's no reason why a 7'4 kid that weighs about, who knows, 280, and then like a 6'8, 435-pounder is an interesting matchup. That should probably actually be unbelievable to watch. I think it's also like between the two programs – if you look at the makeup of their teams as well, it probably couldn't be any more opposite. You got guys that have been at one school for a pretty long time for the most part. And then you got another school that's made up of a 2- and 3-time transfers. So I think that gains a lot of interest, especially how the NCAA has gone lately. So both games are probably going to be pretty solid games, but I just think just the absolute run that NC State's been on is exactly what March Madness is about. If anybody said NC State 3 weeks ago, our answers would have been extremely different of how that job or program had been. But, I mean, how special is that, what they're doing?
Absolutely. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, I think looking forward to both of the games and completely different styles on both sides, as Mark said. But I think the pace of the Alabama-UConn game is going to be really fun to watch, and we'll see a lot of shots get up, and I just think we'll be going back and forth. And then on the other side, I'd say probably a little bit more slowed down tempo, grinded out possessions. But I'd say the more intriguing one to watch is going to be Alabama and UConn, and just see how that plays out.
All right, Mike, round us out here.
I look forward to both games. I'm just glad to see Ryan Barth and his brother Drew have recovered from Illinois' shellacking they took from UConn Saturday. We'll move on from that. And my son's sitting here. He's visiting. He's assistant coach at Muskingum University in Ohio. He gave me a tidbit that it's the highest spread in the Final Four, both games combined. It's about 20 combined, somewhere in there. It's the highest since 1972, if you combine both spreads. That being said, I'm not expecting two blowouts, you know. You know, Coach Richmond, a lot of coaches don't think fate is involved in a lot of this stuff when it gets tournament time. I'm a believer fate's involved. NC State realistically should not be there. They should have lost in the semifinals of their conference tournament, and that coach, who I know nothing about, was on the hot seat, maybe ready to get fired. They bank in that 3 against Virginia to put it in overtime just to then get to the finals of the ACC tournament. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if any of the 4 teams won the way things are going right now. But you know, UConn really impressed me against Illinois. They're big, physical. Their guards are big, and I watched them some during the season, but not really like in depth, like Saturday's game against Illinois. Boy, I was impressed with their size and their physical. Their guards are big. They're well rounded, like offensively and defensively. I'm looking forward to both games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to UConn and Alabama. Just with UConn, you know, putting up like 28 points, winning by 28 points against most opponents this tournament. I'm interested to see how Alabama kind of handles that pace of the game for them. But Bob, you know, what is your prediction for both games and the national championship as well?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Big labia energy.
What if I eat a little cheese every day?
Just keep it.
It's like I have a tolerance. Yeah, for cheese.
Good
same
job
with
building
cats.
Up your tolerance.
Like if I pet a cat every day for the first week or two.
I thought you were going to say if I eat a cat a little bit every day, starting at the tail and just ate a little bit, then I'd be fine. But if I didn't eat a cat for 3 months.
I would totally start at the face. Why would you start at the tail? If someone put a gun to my head and said, eat this cat. I'm trying to think of
we're
an acceptable
talking about
scenario.
A feline, right?
Oh, did you think I was talking about pussy?
Maybe. It could go there.
I don't want to eat a cat. I want to eat a pussy.
You have to go with UConn. Once again, the defending champs. Once again, like I said, they've been cruising through this tournament so far. So I like them on the one side, and I like Purdue on the other side. And I think, you know, looking at both those teams, I think Connecticut coming out on top of Purdue as well.
Okay. Mark, what about you?
I'd be similar. You know, I like Purdue. Yeah, I like Connecticut. Just kind of getting to the numbers a little bit and might bore some of your listeners. Like, I think the stat is, and there's a site on the internet, kenpalm.com. It's, you know, analytics. In the last 22 years, I believe it is, you got to be in the top 25 in offense and top 25 in defense nationally to have a chance to win the national title. So I think only one time in the last 22 years, somebody other than that hasn't done it. And right now, Connecticut's 1 offensively and 4 defensively. Purdue's 2 offensively and 17 defensively. So, you know, if you base it off that, like both those teams should advance. And it kind of sways me a little bit in the championship game. I think Purdue probably gets it done. I'm just kind of looking back to the Virginia story from a couple of years ago. They were kind of possessed after losing to a 16 the previous year, and you know they rolled through the tournament and found a way to get it done at the end.
Yeah, it's just very – and, yeah, you'd be surprised how many of the listeners actually enjoy stats. The manager's Fitty of this show, Mark. Like, so you know him with his stats. Like, he's just always coming out with something. But, Duncan, what about you?
I would say if Alabama's got a chance, I would say their point guard goes for all of their points, 40, 50, however many he's got to score. He's going to have a big night, and he is fun to watch when he does it, and I think it's a good probability he does it. Whether they win or not is still, I would say, low probability just because of what UConn's been doing. You know, we talked about them last year, if they could keep doing what they're doing, and they sure did. And then it seems like they're going along the same lines this year. But I would love to see the story of Purdue to do what they did last year and then to kind of come back and make up for it. But also, we've already talked about fate being a big part. Love to see NC State all of a sudden play for a national championship after what the last month of their careers has been like. If I got to bet some money, I'll probably make the boring call and say it's pretty tough to beat UConn because they're holding everybody to roughly under 60 points and they're roughly scoring high 70s, and it is a mild blowout every game. So it's tough to go against that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, my answer probably wouldn't be as detailed as Coach Richmond's, but for a lot of the same reasons, I agree a lot with him. And what he says, one thing I wanted to point out was if Alabama has a chance, it's going to be because they're making threes. if you look at their shot chart, it's all in the paint, all around the three-point line. They roughly pull up and shoot jumpers. But as Illinois found out the hard way, if you take it at Klingon, he's probably going to be blocking a majority of their shots. So I would say if Alabama has a chance, they're going to be shooting threes, and that tempo is going to be out of this world. But UConn's ability to just grind out possessions as well and be able to score in the half court and basically get – good shots every possession. It's just tough to beat, even when they're not making threes. As we saw against Illinois, they can go on runs that where they're playing great defense and they just get run out dunk after run out dunk. So for that one, I think UConn pulls it off just because they're so tough in all assets. And then in the Purdue NC State game, I would say NC State's had a great run and they've been hot as of late and just going crazy with riding the hot streak. But I think Purdue, they have a bitter taste in their mouth from last year. And the way they've been playing lately, they're going to be able to kind of win at any cost and what any type of game they have to play, whether it's slow down or which is how they want to play. And I think that's how NC State wants to play as well. So I think Purdue and UConn advance, and I think Purdue avenges their last year's loss in the first round to a 16 seed.
All right. Mike, round us out.
Well, common sense and the bookmakers, they take UConn and Purdue to win easily Saturday. NC State, Alabama playing out of their minds, and guys are making shots, and who knows if Edie or UConn has a couple key guys getting foul trouble. And like Ryan said, first half against Illinois, they couldn't throw in the ocean. It was a 5-point game before they went crazy in the second half. But I usually straddle the fence, as everybody knows, so I'm not really ready to call an upset Saturday. And so I'll go with the favorites and for the safe side. And I would look forward to seeing Edie go against UConn's big guys inside. I like to see that matchup, and I'm just going to say UConn's going to repeat.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I got UConn and Purdue in my brackets. But for the national championship game, I have UConn winning it in my bracket. But after watching the way Purdue's playing, I think Purdue's going to slow down the pace of the game that UConn wants to play with Zach Edey down low in the paint and just really – really bother them in the paint. I think Purdue takes it in the national championship, contrary to what my bracket says. But we're going to not talk about that. I was perfect through the first day, and then everything went to crap after that. So we're not even going to go into that. But, Bob, let's go to you here. And out of these four head coaches, who's the best head coach out of these four?
I mean, you gotta say Hurley right now is the best. I mean, it's trying to get back-to-back championships here, and I think the way that he's molded this team, he's put a stamp on his team, and I think he's changed the way he molded this team too. So I gotta say Hurley has got to be the best coach out of the four here.
All right, Mark, what about you?
I think it's hard to argue with Hurley. He's got a national title, and none of the other guys do, but. I have a lot of respect for Matt Painter and kind of what he's done and built there. Obviously he's been there, I think, since 2006. And, kind of took a rebuild. And I think they won between 29 and 30 games the last 3 years. They're creeping up towards 100 wins in 3 years. So, when it gets down to it, late game, if it's close, I think Purdue can win it, just on that coaching edge. From Matt Painter.
All right. Duncan, what about you?
Well, I would have said the same sentence as you just heard for the other two, so I'll try something else. I really find it interesting that a person can take Alabama, who's not normally known for basketball, and turn them into a high-level team playing a certain way that's a little different. They are more of a run and gun. They do have this random 7-foot stretch five that transferred from North Dakota State or wherever it was from, and he's unbelievable. I think that plays a huge play into probably his coaching strategy going into his game as to how to beat a UConn that has another 7-foot guy. You know, when he guards that pick and roll, he plays the sag like NBA guys guard it, where he backs up towards the rim and he does a great job. That's mainly because a lot of other teams don't have a lot of pick and pop fives in the country, because you got to have a 7-foot guy that can move. And all of a sudden, Bama will have one. So I think that coaching strategy will play a big part of the success. And I think if anybody could beat UConn, I think it could be Bama on one of those nights. And also because of the matchup and how they play offensively against that defense of that ball screen. So if I'm saying which coach is best, we've already heard the other two. So Oates, Bama, because he's going to go stretch, pick and pop for the five and win the game.
Oh, right. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, those are all great points, and I just agree with all of them. Just to keep it short, I agree that Hurley's gotten it to a point where I think everybody's trying to chase what he's doing, and he's at the top right now and not looking like he's falling off anytime soon. He gets the guys that he wants, and he gets them to play the way that he likes, and just the fire and passion that he coaches with, I think his team reflects that, and they all play great together. So I would have to say Dan Hurley.
All right. Mike, round us out here.
This is going to be an unpopular answer among coaches, probably, Bono, but and my years coaching, being around basketball, like, there's a lot of good coaches, and a lot of coaches do things differently, but they're basically the same. And, you know, we all run different offenses and defenses and that. And so to me, all four coaches, I know what they're doing and do a good job. And of course, you get to the Final Four, you're a hot commodity right now. Like Hurley's a hot guy right now. Everybody hangs on every word he says, I'm sure, right now. But like Coach Richmond, and lots of coaches that are good coaches, know what they're doing, and different situations to be in. Hurley's great and everything. But UConn must be a pretty good job in basketball. Like recent history, I think at least two head coaches there have won national titles. Two different. He's the third. Three different. So to me, not taking anything away, and he's great and everything. Must have a pretty good chance to win big at UConn, because they've done well since Calhoun was there. Holly followed him and won it. And so to finish up my unpopular answer, I think all four coaches are good.
There's the PC answer I was waiting for from Mike, the PR answer from the GOAT, all four coaches. But no, I got to agree with Duncan, Bama's coach. I mean, who's known Alabama to have a basketball team that can make it to the Final Four, possibly into the national championship? All you hear about is the football team and Roll Tide there. So I'm going to go with Alabama and their coach on this one. I'm going to agree with Duncan on this one. Give him a little help, since everyone other than Mike picked UConn, which I guess he kind of did because he picked all of them. So, Bob, this should be an easy answer here, but which team is the biggest surprise in being here at the Final Four?
Probably easiest would be NC State, but I just think it's Alabama. I think, to me, watching the four teams, I mean, I know NC State would probably be the surprise, but to me, after I've seen them play like the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and they just did not play well. They lost to some bad teams down the stretch in the SEC play. So just to have them here in the Final Four is pretty amazing, because I think they even lost early in the round of the SEC and the tournament as well. So I think just to have them in there as a tribute to them playing at a high pace here, and not, you know, you ended the season in a bad note, but you still were able to rebound in the tournament here and go on a nice run. So I would say Alabama is one of the surprise teams for me.
All right. Mark.
I think it's clearly NC State. You know, going back to Mike's point, you know, about there's good coaches everywhere, and, you know, obviously UConn's a great situation. I think, you know, one of the unique storylines kind of to the whole Final Four is, like, three of these guys were, like, high school coaches not that long ago. You know, Nate Oates was the head coach at Romulus High School in Michigan and was a math teacher when I got in this business. Like, you know, I knew him in 2008, and, you know, he obviously worked his way up, went to Buffalo, and, you know, now he's hitting it big at Alabama. You know, obviously the Hurleys got a famous name, and, you know, his brother was a great player at Duke. You know, but they were high school coaches, and he started there kind of at the ground floor. And then, you know, Kevin Keats was the head coach at Hargrave Military Academy, you know, prep school in Virginia. And, you know, he kept grinding out high major players after high major players, and he finally kind of caught on at Louisville and, you know, did a good job at UNC Wilmington. Now he's, you know, obviously at NC State, and it looks like he's got that thing turned back in the right direction. So, you know, long-winded answer for, you know, the question, but NC State, like, you know, he won 9 in a row, all on neutral floors, you know, all in a tournament setting. So, like, I think the thing that stood out to me watching them, like, they're playing with house money. You know, you see in some of these NCAA tournament games, teams get tight, and there's some game pressure late in those games. Like, NC State hadn't done that. You know, they're just playing carefree, and, like, they make shots in critical situations, and that's what got them, you know, to this point of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, Mark, you're on the show called Ride Home Rants. We're expecting long-winded answers here, man. Like, this is all right. But, Duncan, what about you?
I mean, you know, like everyone said, NC State is the obvious choice just for everything that's kind of going on. I think one thing that we probably have missed a little bit is how many teams over the last, you know, 20 or 30 years won a national title after not winning their conference tournament. And something just – Purdue's playing with, you know, like this intense focus, but they also got bounced a little early. You know, some of the other ones won their conference tournament, been on a 9, you know, or 10 or 7 game run. I'd like to say that, like, Purdue, because they got bounced early in the conference tournament, that now it's almost set them up to have a letdown again, even though I'm rooting for them. I like the storyline of getting bounced early last year and coming back this year and really looking good in the tournament. But I don't want to look past the fact that 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, they lost. So I think that's very interesting. I do think if you would have asked this poll 3 weeks ago, right before the tournament started, and we say who would be a bigger surprise to get to the Final Four, excluding NC State, I think a lot of people just would have said Purdue. They just lost. So I think that's pretty interesting.
All right. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, all great points. And I think with the run that UConn's had in the tournament, I don't think that it's surprising that they're making it back to the Final Four with winning games by 25-plus points. But at the same time, I think I agree with Bob that Bama is the biggest surprise to make it to the Final Four with how they played in the tournament and then just before. So, yeah, I just say that I think that Bama is the biggest surprise.
All right. Mike, round us out.
I agree with everybody. Bama is a surprise. I'd have to say NC State's the biggest surprise. And in my opinion, it's a miracle they even got in the tournament to begin with. Like Coach Richmond said, I think that's point blank correct. They're playing loosey-goosey, making shots, because they're technically not supposed to be in the tournament. No, I got to say they're the biggest surprise, because nobody would have mentioned them to even make the tournament 3 weeks ago. And now, who knows with this fate thing that I call, they could win again. But, you know, I'm not ready to pull that trigger and call it upset yet. But they're the biggest surprise.
All right. Well, the biggest surprise now is Duncan just brings on a surprise guest and brings on
It's my little MVP.
I was saying, who we got there?
It's my little baby Vivian. She is about 95 days old.
Oh wow! Well, congratulations on that, and that it's nice breaking the show there for that to have that coming on here. But Bob here, UConn and NC State have both their women and men's teams in the Final Four this year, and is the first time this has happened for these schools. You know, what are your thoughts on this regarding the publicity and the interest the schools are generating now because of this?
I just think it's a nice thing to see that. I think, you know, with Caitlin Clark bringing the women's game up to kind of where no one even would notice the women's game before now. I mean, they're on, national TV now. They're on the networks and stuff. So I think having Connecticut, too, I think they're kind of the women's team that's been dominant for so long. They've kind of fell off a little bit. So it's nice to see them come back as well and to kind of get back to prominence and stuff. So I think it's great to see. And then the NC State, I think the same thing as the men. I think the women weren't supposed to be there. I think they pulled a couple upsets along the way. So both NC State teams are on a great run as well. So I just think it's nice to see, you know, the women's game come around a little bit. And but it's nice to see, you know, them compare the two teams. And I know then they'll go and say, well, could the men's team beat the women's team and vice versa and stuff like that. So they'll start comparing that pretty soon.
That's always going to be a comparison, I think. And that's always going to come down to it and always going to be a debate for the ages. But, Mark, what about you?
I think it's pretty cool. Like, you know, obviously, you know, getting to a Final Four is a big deal. In either sport, you know, and both can do it, you know, you can obviously create a lot of positive momentum. You know, you saw what Florida Atlantic's done, you know, San Diego State, and even, you know, dating back to Butler, you know, 10 years ago or more now. You know, that's huge for those universities and, you know, their programs. And, you know, I think in this NIL, you know, day and age, you know, it can create a ton of, you know, positive momentum, and like kind of UConn's done, they've, you know, capitalized on that, and they're right back where they were last year. So, you know, I think that's really important. And like you said, it's cool to see, you know, those women's teams in Cleveland. I think I saw yesterday that, you know, the LSU-Iowa game was the most watched college basketball game ever on ESPN. Like, it's crazy. So, you know, obviously the interest around that women's tournament is, you know, something new and, you know, pretty fun to follow and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Caitlin Clark has just dominated the woman's spectrum, and seeing her all over ESPN every morning and hearing that she's dropped 40 here, 35 here, 48 here, 50 here, double-double, triple-doubles, all over the place. But, Duncan, the heck with you. I want to get Vivian's take on this one. What is since you're going to bring her on here?
Caitlin Clark fan. We're trying to go see her here in 48 hours.
All right, but what
I think I like the disparity in college sports now, especially basketball, just because I really feel even just 5 years ago, there's no chance that, and no offense to NC State of the world, but that both of their programs make a Final Four. And I think the changes that have led to an opportunity like this are good for the sport as a whole. They're good for the fan bases. Last year we had two teams that maybe never made it. And now we got, you know, within NC State, how many times their men and women's made it. It's just giving a lot more opportunity to a lot more schools that's out there. And how can you knock that? I'm just wondering when it's going to be some of my favorite colleges' turns and my turn. But I'm a big fan of it. It adds so much to the school. You read and you watch like the Johnny Manziel stuff of how much money the school is willing to, you know, raise while he was in school, and how much just this run of basketball between the two programs will really make for that university. You know, we won't even be able to tell right now, but we'll be able to tell probably a year from now how much money they're willing to raise or were able to raise. So I really like where that's gone and giving everybody more opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you said, Duncan, I'm still waiting for my Mountaineers to make it back to the Final Four.
Ain't the Bob Huggins kind of
Bob Huggins saga kind of hurt us this year. I think we'll bounce back next year with all this NIL. But Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, I just think that with both men's and women's teams making it to the Final Four, it's just hard to do. Like multiple times, I'm sure it's been said that even making a Final Four is difficult. But when your men's and women's are both doing it at the same time, and where do fans pick to go? I don't know, because they say the women's is drawing a lot of interest this year compared to the men's. And I think that's an interesting fact. And with just how last year the women's Final Four turned out with great players and big names all over the place, I think that's a really cool situation and great for the women's sport. And then on the men's side, I just think that every year it's drawn interest and continues to grow. And with NIL and the money that's being thrown in, I think it's great for all aspects. And just as a sports fan, I think it's great for all of them in general. So that's just my take on it.
All right. Mike, round us out here.
Bonner, you know I'm always honest with you.
Absolutely.
And I did not know that fact that UConn and NC State women and men were in it till you just brought the question up. So I don't have much to add on this question. I do know the athletic directors at those two will take a lot of credit for that happening. And my son sitting here, he just informed me that UConn men and women, only time ever, their men and women won it in 2004 and 2014.
All right.
UConn, the same year. So that's only two times that's happened. That's my answer to the question.
All right. I mean, maybe they have something with fours, and in 2024 here, they'll do it again. All right, Bob. So with the women's Final Four being in Cleveland, Ohio, and the men's Final Four being in Glendale, Arizona, which city do you think benefits more from having these big tournaments there?
We'll be back after a quick break.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I would say in the past probably would have been Arizona, but I think this year with the women's, the notoriety, I think Cleveland's going to benefit from this. I think, unfortunately, the weather's not going to cooperate. It doesn't look too good, but I think just having them there, I think with Caitlin Clark there and with UConn and with the stars of UConn, I think that's going to be the big couple games there. So I think Cleveland's going to benefit this year just because the women's notoriety is so big this year. But I think in the past I would have said wherever the men were at, but I think the women are taking over this year. We're already seeing it with the ticket prices. I guess they're really sky high just to get to these games.
Absolutely. I'll chime in here. I think Cleveland on this one, mainly because they got a lot going on up there this weekend. The women's Final Four, the Guardians in their home opener.
Yeah, opening day is Monday.
Opening day is Monday. The Eclipse is happening Monday. Like, there's a lot of people heading to Cleveland right about now. But Mark, what about you? Do we have Arizona or Cleveland benefiting more?
I'd probably say Cleveland. I just think, you know, obviously Arizona's had a lot more of these, you know, Super Bowls and, you know, Fiesta Bowls. You know, they're probably more accustomed to it. I will say, you know, just walking around here before I hopped on, the Diamondbacks and Yankees just let out. People were going in to watch the Cavs and the Suns. So there's plenty going on here as well. But I think it's unique for Cleveland just because they haven't had anything like that probably ever.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Duncan, what about you?
I think it's probably bigger notoriety for the city of Cleveland to have it going on. By the way, I do want to thank the NCAA for making a free practice, as long as you can go get tickets online to both teams on Saturday. That way I can afford it, because I'm here in Cleveland. That's about, my price range is nothing. So as long as we can get there to that, I think both teams that are left have like a shoot around practice or whatever on Saturday that we're going to go to. The city of Cleveland probably benefits more notoriety wise. I would imagine, I could be wrong, but I would think that maybe the Phoenix Glendale area maybe makes more money. Maybe, but I'm not positive about that one. It's great for both cities. Obviously I live in Cleveland, so I'm not complaining either way. Whichever one wants to come to town, I appreciate either one.
Right. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, I think I agree with the general consensus here that Cleveland probably has more to gain. And just with the names that are going to be in the women's game there in Cleveland this week. And I think that draws a lot of attention and a lot of interest from not only young fans, but basketball fans. So I think that's where it's going to be at.
All right, Mike, what about you? Round us out.
Yeah, I'm sure this is a big week for Cleveland, a big event, a lot of people there. It's great for the city. I've been to 25 or so Final Fours. Coach Richmond's been to Final Four. I just, you know, there's just be a lot more people there in Phoenix, and, you know, at least triple the amount will be there at the games because they're playing in the Dome. And just, if you haven't been to Final Four, Coach Richmond will attest, it's a major, major event. It's Saturday's event with the two games. It's maybe considered one of the top days in all of sports, you know, the two semifinal games. And nothing against the women's Final Four, and it's going to be huge in Cleveland, but just the spectacle that the Final Four men's tournament is, it's incredible. Yeah. So I'm sure both cities will do fine.
Absolutely. All right, Bob here. So does Alabama making it to the Final Four help them come out of the shadow of their powerhouse football team?
No, I don't think so. I think,
if you can't tell, this is a fitty portion of the questions that we've added to that while we were coming up with the topics for the show. This is definitely a fitty question.
I think, unfortunately, I think football is king wherever you go. I think, even though we have a lot of basketball guys on, I think, you know, Alabama football is just, I don't think will ever be overshadowed. I mean, from Bear Bryant to what Saban's done the last couple of years, I think has put them on the map again. I think even though they may make a run, and I think they'd have to win like four or five national championships of basketball to kind of get back to where you're comparing to Alabama football, unfortunately.
Right. Mark, what about you?
I think they picked the right year to do it. If they were going to make up any ground, you know, with Coach Saban retiring, you know, I don't care who they hired, they're not going to do the same thing as Nick Saban did. So, you know, the year that Nick retired and, you know, Alabama basketball goes to the Final Four, like, you know, I don't think they'll ever catch them. You know, football's king, obviously, in the SEC, but I think they picked the right time to do it, and, you know, we'll see how it goes here in Phoenix this weekend.
All right. Duncan, what about you?
I think probably the best question would have been, will they ever catch Alabama football in terms of facilities and resources? Because no matter how good they get at basketball, even if they are a basketball school, and how much he can probably get paid, you could probably spend eternity trying to catch everything they probably already have today, money and facility wise, for Alabama football, and never catch it. But if you're ever going to try, at least to make it a basketball school, now's the time. So good timing on that one. I don't know if we'll ever catch them on some of the stuff that us coaches would call important as facilities and things like that.
All right. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with all the points that have been said so far. I think the new football coach that comes into Alabama has quite the shoes to fill. And with the timing that all these guys have talked about, with Nate Oates doing it right now, making it to the Final Four and kind of seeing if he can make that switch and start to see if he can catch him, as Duncan was talking about. I just think it's so tough to try and build that dynasty. He's probably going to have to stay at Alabama the rest of his career. And I don't know if he's going to leave. He'd probably get forced out before he chose to leave, being at Alabama. If he wants to make it a basketball school, I think that that's what he has to do, is stay there and just try and build and make it within his system, which I think is what he's true to. And I think he's got a good chance, but it's just going to be very, very tough to do, try and catch that dynasty that Nick Saban and Bear Bryant built before him.
Absolutely. Mike, round us out.
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I don't know if that will ever happen there, although I'm sure that Alabama fans are happy and elated that they're still playing basketball. It's not life or death, I don't think. Kind of like a high-stake football and basketball. And Alabama had good teams when I was growing up. Wimp Sanderson was their coach. Most of you don't remember him, but they had a lot of good teams. And Ohio State will have good basketball teams, but it gets down to it. You know, those two football schools are going to override anything with basketball, and it's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Football is king. I really don't see anybody even coming close to what Alabama football has been able to do. And kudos to them for trying, you know, make a run at it, you know, do what you got to do. But we're going to round out the show with this last question here, Bob, and we're going to go to you here. Which of these teams has the best shot to be back here in 2025?
I would say this has been a tough one because I don't know too many, but I would just say Connecticut, where the way that they lost their guys from last year, and then they kind of rebuilt again this year. I mean, you look at Purdue's going to lose Edie, so I mean they're going to struggle probably. NC State's got a couple of transfer guys, so I would have to go with Connecticut, the way Hurley has kind of brought some kids in and kind of remolded this team from last year's team and kind of got them going. I think he's got a good pipeline there going, so I would have to say Connecticut back again next year.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one, because I think Connecticut lost like all five of their starters last year, and they're already back in the championship.
Yeah, they're right back. And I think they're better than they were last year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Mark, what about you?
Definitely Connecticut. I think Mike said it earlier. They've had three different coaches win national championships there, so it's kind of a job that's hard to screw up. I think they'll just continue to reload. There's some rumors, and do the New York Knicks hire Dan Hurley? I think that would be the only thing, like, if he would happen to leave. But Connecticut's always going to be a player in this thing, just because how much they care and put into their program. So he's going to continue to reload, continue to get guys out of the transfer portal, and he's done a really good job with high school guys as well, and developing and bringing them up. So I think definitely UConn.
All right, Duncan, what about you?
Hurley's out. He's gone. No, it's not going to happen. Sorry, everybody. Oates is a portal wizard. He's going to end up with some D8 guy that no one knew about that's going to show up and be a stud. So he'll make it back because he'll have nothing but first rounders. He'll figure it out. Everybody wants to run up and down and chuck threes like they do. So he'll have a good chance. I would say there is a very high – there's a better chance none of these four make it back, and that's what I kind of like about it. How about that?
All right. I like that bold statement.
Just because Hurley's gone.
All right. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah. I think I agree that with both Alabama and UConn having a chance to make it back, just because I think if Nate Oates can continue to build, and he is a 4 seed right now, so if he just gets a little bit better and gets himself in a good situation, a 1, 2, or 3 seed or 4 again, I don't think it matters if his team gets hot at the right time, and that can be said for any basketball team. But the style that Coach Oates plays with, I think it's very impressive. So I think I actually want to say Alabama has the best chance to make it back.
All right. Mike, what about you?
I would agree with that. I would say zero before. Would have a great chance of getting back. But the NIL stuff and the transfer portal, and teams are going to be unrecognizable from year to year. And which makes it harder for me to watch Division I basketball. But, you know, players hopping around and playing for three, four different schools. And it's harder for fans to relate to those teams. You know, these four teams that are playing this weekend have a total new nucleus next year. Who knows? Who knows who's going to be playing for them? So, I can't. Going into the tournament, I thought there were 40 or 50 teams that had a chance, you know, get to the Final Eight, Final Four. And, you know, you could throw a bunch of new teams in the mix next year once they start, you know, picking up new players. So I'll say zero in the point.
Okay. And I like the bold statement, but, you know, it is March Madness. So is it really that bold of a statement with NC State, an 11 seed, making it to the Final Four and everything like that? But that's actually going to round out all the questions I have for my panel here today. So that is going to do it for this very special NCAA Final Four preview show. Be sure to take a listen to this before the games on Saturday so that you can be prepared. I want to thank my panel of guests for going on today. Ryan, Duncan, Bob, Mike, and Mark for coming on. This was a lot of fun to get to sit and talk some college basketball with all of you. As always, if you enjoyed the show, be a friend, tell a friend. If you didn't, tell them anyways. They might like it just because you didn't. That's going to do it for me, and I will see y'all next week. The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Dubby Energy. Energy drinks made for gamers, streamers, and podcasters alike. Go to the link in the description where you can find the best energy drinks out there. Less caffeine than a cup of coffee. Also, no jitters and no crash afterwards. Use the promo code Mike Bono and get yourself 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my favorite sponsor of the show, and that is Shankit Golf. Golf apparel made for the everyday golfer. We might not go out and shoot a 6-under par. We're probably going to shoot a 6-over par, but this is going to give us the gear that's going to help us rock it on and off of the course. Go to the link in the bio, use the promo code MikeBono, and get yourself 10% off there as well.